Today, I want to continue the series that I've been doing over the last several weeks on prayer, the importance of prayer, the place of prayer, the priority of prayer. And we've really been seeing something together as we're looking at this, and actually what I want us to do is we're just going to go to the scripture again as we're moving through the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer that's found in Matthew chapter 6. And as we put that on the screen, I want us to say that together. Actually, I want us to do more than just say it. I want us to pray this prayer together. So in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9, most of you know this. If you haven't, it's a good place to do some scripture memorization. Our Father, say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In our last message, we considered that first phrase of the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And really the key word on that message was the word perspective. It was really about perspective, understanding the perspective of who God is and who we are and how we relate to Him. That's the beginning place of prayer, is having that proper perspective of God, that He is our Father and we are His children. That He is our Father who is in heaven. That speaks of His authority, the limitless of His ability to take care of us. So He's God in heaven. We're here on earth with all of our needs that we surrender to Him. And then we said, hallowed be thy name. We understand our place is that we are the worshipers, that He's the one who is to be worshipped. And that really is the beginning of the perspective that we have as we begin to pray. This morning I want us to look at the next phrase, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, there is something about perspective that we continue to look at, is that it is the perspective of thy kingdom, not my kingdom. It's the perspective of thy will, not my will, being done. That He's the king and we're the subjects. He's the Lord and we're his servants. And as the word perspective was the key word as we began looking at this prayer last week, I think the key word for us today is going to be the word submission. It's all about submission. We're going to see that the Lord is teaching us that before we begin to ask Him of anything, before we begin to petition Him for anything, we need to get ourselves aligned with Him and with His will, so that as we pray, we're praying according to His will. As we're praying in a way that we're already lined up with Him. How many of you know that if you're asking God to do what He already wants to do, It's a pretty sure thing that your prayers are going to be answered, right? And so this is a matter of perspective, but then it's a matter of submission, because sometimes it's not so easy to get lined up with what God wants, because we're so self-centered and we're thinking about what it is that I want God to do for me. I heard of a preacher from Romania who was talking to an American pastor one time, and he says, you Americans, you talk about commitment all the time. But here in Romania, we talk about surrender. And when the pastor asks you what the difference is, would he explain that? He says, well, you see, when you make a commitment to someone, you are in control. You decide what you're willing to commit to do, and then you do it. But when you surrender to another person, you put them in control, and now it's they who get to decide what you do, and you do it. And then he said, you Americans need to get away from commitment and move towards surrender. I'm getting ready to say something that I've been pastoring for over 35 years. I'm getting ready to say something I didn't think I would ever say in a pulpit. Because if you were to ask most pastors, what is it that the church needs to go to the next level? One of the things that we would say is we need more commitment. If our people were just more committed, if they were more committed to coming to church, if they were more committed to their tithes, if they were more committed to serving the Lord. But here we go. I'm getting ready to say it. We don't need more commitment. We need surrender. We need surrender. Because when you surrender, then commitment's not even an issue. When we surrender, when we get to the place where it's not, see, sometimes we're committed to prayer. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray in the morning. I'm going to pray my 30 minutes. I'm going to pray my hours. God, here I am. I'm committed. God's not looking for your commitment. God's looking for your surrender. God's looking for you to get to the place where you're saying, God, what is it that you're wanting to do? How can I line up with your will? Lord, you show me it's thy kingdom come and it's thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So extremely important that we get that because, you know, this is 4th of July weekend and we're proud to be Americans and we love our democracy. But you see, in a democracy, the people decide what it is that they want, and they'll tell their leaders, this is what you do for us. That's the way democracy works. That's not the way it works in a kingdom. You see, in a kingdom, it all belongs to the king, and he gets to decide what he wants to do, and we just get to do what he tells us to do. Now, we hope that it's a good king. We hope that he's looking out for the interest of his people, but if it's not, then that's just kind of like too bad because it's the kingdom and the king gets to decide and it's our part just to follow through and do what he asks us to do. And so in a kingdom, the rules are totally different. And so if we're not careful, we will abuse that first phrase that Jesus taught us to pray that we looked at last week, our Father who art in heaven. If we're not careful, we'll abuse that and we'll go to God in an attitude that says, God, you're here to give me everything that I want because you're a good, good Father. Yeah, he is our Father, but he's also our King. And we've got to keep that perspective as we continue to pray. We need to keep understanding he's not just our Father, he's our King. As our Father, we can jump into his lap, but as our King, we need to snap to attention and say, yes, sir. As our Father, we can throw our arms around him, but as our King, we need to bow prostrate before him and honor him and recognize his authority in our lives. So Jesus gives us this perspective because his disciples have been watching him pray and they see the effectiveness and the power with which he's praying and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he begins to pray and he says, here's the deal. This is the way that it works. You're going to have to understand who God is and who we are. We're going to have to understand him as our Father, but we've also got to understand him as our King. And so he says, not only do we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But then we pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want us to look at those phrases for just a few moments together. And there's a couple things that I notice when we begin to pray, thy kingdom come. First of all, as we pray, thy kingdom come, we pray that in a sense of in the future, that there's this then aspect to the coming of the kingdom of God. How many of you know that the king is coming? The king is coming. And he is going to rule and reign over this earth. The Bible tells us about what we call the millennial reign of Christ. It's a 1,000-year period where Jesus is coming back to earth again. It's the second coming of Christ. The church is raptured. Jesus comes back. He begins to establish his throne, his rule, his reign, his kingdom here on earth. He rules from Jerusalem. And while he's ruling on this earth, we read about old Satan that is bound in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. How many of you would kind of like to see that happen? Let's just get rid of him for a while. And so when the king is ruling and reigning on the earth in this millennial kingdom, We get to rule and reign with him, and it's going to be an awesome time here on the earth. It's going to be a time of peace and prosperity. It's going to be a time where all of the nations are going to acknowledge Jesus. They're going to serve him. They're going to worship him. Everybody's going to be in full agreement that Jesus really is the Christ. He really is the Son of the living God. He really is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Bible describes that time as a time where the lion is going to lay down with the lamb, as a time where a child is going to play on the den of the adder, on the den of a snake, and nobody's worried about it because all of the sin, all of the evil, all of the iniquity, all of that is gone, and the earth is being restored during that millennial reign to a time like it was in the Garden of Eden, where the plan and the will and the kingdom of God is ruling and reigning in absolute authority. No wonder in the book of Revelation, when John the Revelator sees all of what's getting ready to happen, the book closes in Revelation chapter 22, and it says at verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen." That's Jesus talking. And then John responds and says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Even so, that ought to be our prayer today. Even so, come, Lord, hasten the coming of the Lord, because we're living in a world that is filled with anxiety and pain and trouble and worry and fear, and there's terrorism and sex slave trafficking and disease and death and heartbreak and pain and brokenness. And in this world, we ought to be praying, Lord, thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on this earth. Hasten the day of the coming of the Lord. Not only is there a then aspect to the praying thy kingdom come, but there ought to be a now aspect to our praying thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come now. Yes, Lord, we know that you're coming. We know that the millennial reign of Christ is going to happen. We know you're going to rule and reign in absolute authority, and your will is going to be done on the earth, and the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's going to be an incredible, great day. But between now and then, Lord, we ask that your kingdom will begin to advance further than it has advanced, that your kingdom will begin to push back the powers of the kingdom of darkness that is trying to rule and reign over this earth. Lord, we're praying that righteousness and holiness will begin to rule and to reign over the earth, even here and even now. And Lord, we want to do all that we can to try to make that happen here on earth today, right now, as it is in heaven. Here on earth, right day to now, in my life, on my job, wherever I am, that I am like light, like the kingdom advancing. Everywhere I go, the kingdom is advancing. Everywhere I go, I'm pushing back the darkness. Thy kingdom come. Lord, use me to advance the kingdom of God. That ought to be our prayer right now. Use our church to advance the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How about in this country? We were just praying, Lord of revival. Lord of revival, pour it out. Pour out the revival. How many of you know that our nation needs a revival? You know, we stand on this patriotic weekend recognizing the birth of our nation, a nation that, despite what some people would try to tell you with their revisionist history, was founded by godly men on godly principles, who were looking for a place to establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. And there was the birth of the United States. And in our founding documents, they acknowledged God, saying, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator." That's God. They're acknowledging God right there in the establishment of our nation. And that among, that we're endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But as Christians today, it's not just about our life and our liberty and the pursuit of our happiness. As Christians today, it's about advancing the kingdom of God into this world. Because I'm telling you, if there's going to really be true life, it's going to be the life that is found in Jesus Christ. If there's going to be true liberty, it's the liberty that is found in Jesus Christ. If there's going to be true happiness in our nation today, it's the happiness that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And so we pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth, right here in our nation as it is in heaven, in every facet of our culture, in the church, in the home, in our schools, in the business community, the arts and the entertainment field, in the government, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But then we get to the third aspect of how we need to pray thy kingdom come, and this is where it really matters. This is where the rubber really meets the road, and that is thy kingdom come in me. In me. See, it's really easy to say, I want the kingdom of God in your life. I want you to start acting like the king wants you to act. Oh, come on. You're afraid I'm going to step on your toes now, aren't you? But it really needs to start within me. You know, we're really not going to change our nation until we change ourselves. And it's not even us changing ourselves, it's us surrendering to the Holy Spirit and let Him change us. And so we begin to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things will be added into you. All the things that we need, all the things that we desire, every good thing that we would want individually or as a nation, it happens as we seek first the kingdom of God, as we put God first and His way first. He ought to be the king over our lives, king over your life. Is He the king over your life today? Is He really, really ruling and reigning with absolute sovereign authority? Does God say this is what's going to happen and it happens in your life today? Or is God just able to make suggestions to us? You see, He ought to be the king over your hobbies. He ought to be the king over your finances. He ought to be the king over your relationships. He ought to be the king over your decisions. And it's not what I want, Lord. It's what do you want? You're the king. You're the ruler. You tell me. And we line up with what is God saying. Here's what I know. If anything is going wrong in your life, if anything's out of whack, anything that's messed up, it's probably at this point right here where you have decided that you're going to be the king instead of letting Jesus be king. You decided you're going to do it your way instead of saying, Jesus, you have your way. You be the king. You be the Lord. I'm just your servant. See, when we begin to bow down to the leadership, to the kingship of Jesus Christ, see, that's where the power comes. That's where the authority comes. That's where our victory comes. That's what God wants for us. And so we need to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my home, in my hobbies, in my relationships, in my finances, in every part of my life. God, you be Lord. You be King. And then when we can do that, then we can move to the next part there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And here's the key word for that, and that's perfectly. Perfectly. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you know that the will of God is being done perfectly in heaven today? The angels are perfectly fulfilling the will of God in heaven today. He's not getting just, you know, 9 out of 10 things the way He wants it to go. It's the will of God perfectly being done. And Jesus is teaching us to pray that when we pray, pray this way. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. This is a submissive prayer expressing God's will, God's way, God's plan being done above our own. You need to get this because Jesus is the one teaching us to pray this way. Jesus, again, being observed in prayer, powerful, effective prayer life. And the disciples are saying, how do we have that powerful, effective prayer life? Well, you got to have a right perspective. You got to know who God is and know who you are. But then you're going to have to submit your will to His will. Did you realize that's the way that Jesus prayed? Yeah, that's the way He always prayed. I know we know the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane as He's praying, Lord, you know, take this cup from me. But then He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This wasn't a new time for Jesus to pray that prayer. In fact, I would suggest that if that was the first time that Jesus had prayed that prayer, under the stress that he was under that night, he might not have prayed that prayer. If he was already accustomed to saying, Lord, do it my way because I already know. No, he wasn't accustomed to it. In fact, this is what Jesus said about what he did on the earth. He says, the things that you see me do, it's because I've seen the Father in heaven do it. And the things that you hear me say, it's because that's what I've been hearing my Father in heaven say. I'm not here doing my will. No, what you see being manifest through my life is not my will. It's not my way. I'm lining up perfectly with the Heavenly Father. That's what you see going on through me. And Jesus is teaching us. That was the way he was praying. And the disciples saw that. And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray that way. See, before we can ever get to the other parts of this prayer, this model prayer, it's in the right order. Jesus doesn't get things out of order. It's our Father, acknowledge who he is, who art in heaven. We acknowledge what he is, where he is, his power and his authority. Hallowed be thy name. We acknowledge that he's worthy of praise. Thy kingdom come, we're acknowledging he's the king and he's the one that's ruling and reigning, and it's got to be his kingdom that's being established, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and on earth includes being in my life as well. And only once we have established that proper perspective, only we have established that place of surrender and submission to the authority and the rule and the reign of Jesus, are we in a proper position to begin to ask God for things. Because if we've not taking care of that first, here's how I know we're going to pray. Selfishly. We're going to pray selfishly. We're going to treat God like a vending machine. And we're going to get mad if he doesn't give us what we want, the way we want it, and when we want it. But when we've learned how to surrender and acknowledge and have a proper perspective of who God is and who we are and how we fit in relationship with him, and when we establish the fact that he's the king and it's his kingdom that matters and not ours, and it's his will that matters and not ours, then it's not about what do I want, it's what does God will. And when we begin to pray according to the will of God, God's going to hear. God's going to move. God's going to respond to our prayers. You know, I was in the staff meeting this past week. We were doing some planning and just talking and discussing, and I don't even know what brought it up, but somehow it came up that there are a lot of places where you can go, a lot of churches that you go to, big churches, and I'm not criticizing big churches by any means. A lot of big churches doing a lot of good things for God. Praise the Lord for it. But there's some places where you'd go, and the only way that they draw the crowd is because they tell people what they want to hear. And the way that we were discussing it was kind of like, really what's happening is they're putting people in the center and they're making it all about people. It's what do you want? What is it that you want? Tell me what you want, and I'll give you what you want, and God will give you what you want, and making you the hero of every story. It's all about you and the good things that God's got planned for you, and there's no sacrifice. No, God, it's all about you. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, it ain't about you. It's always been about him. We weren't created for God to serve us. We were created for us to serve God. It's about him, it's about his will, it's about his plan. But here's what I know, is that when I surrender my will to his will, guess what? It works out good. You know, there's never been a time where God said, you know what, I should have listened to you. This thing would have worked out a whole lot better if I'd have just done it the way you told me to do it. That has never, ever happened. But here's what happens a lot. I'm sitting there going, God, I should have listened to you. Because it would have sure worked out a whole lot better if I'd been willing to yield my will to your will. If I'd been willing to acknowledge your way for my way. You see, we all want to tell God what we want today, but here's the more important question, and that is, are you willing to surrender your will to His will? Are you willing to surrender your wants to His will? So sometimes the prayer goes like this, Lord, I want a new job. You know I need a new job, God, because this job, they treat me bad, and everybody's cussing all the time and fussing, a bunch of heathens around here. And Lord, you know, I just think it would be so much better if I had a new job where everybody was Christians and we could all sing Kumbaya on lunch break. But are you willing to throw in the nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done? Because remember, I was talking earlier about Jesus when he's standing there, or when he's praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I really don't want to go to the cross. You know, those are really mean people out there, and they said a lot of bad things about me. So God, is there just not another way? And the Father says, not if we consider the eternity of the souls of man, there's not. And God is saying to the Son there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he's praying, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He says, so here's the way it is. You can either have your temporary happiness, or we can have the eternal lives of men's souls. And Jesus says, your way, Lord. Your way, Father. And it could be that the answer to your prayer, Lord, I need a new job because they're a bunch of heathens. And the Lord says, no, I need you to stay in that job because they're a bunch of heathens. I need you to stay there because they need to know about me and my love for them. And I need you to be salt, and I need you to be light, and I need you to be a witness for me. Are you willing to do that? And say, yes, Lord, I'll stay right here and do what you're asking me to do. So our prayer goes something like this. Lord, I need more money. Anybody pray that prayer lately? Oh, come on. If you hadn't been praying that prayer, you hadn't been praying. I mean, I filled my tank up for the first time in my life, put over $100 worth of gas in my tank. Yes, Lord, I need more money. But here's what the Lord might say. What are you doing with the money I already gave you? Are you already praying, thy will be done? With the money you already gave me? Lord, you get the tithe first because I know that's your will. Are we praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Do you want me to keep going through the prayers that we pray? I think you've got the picture. It's not about what you want. It's really about what you need. And God knows what you need. And he's waiting for you to surrender, to submit, and say, thy kingdom come and thy will. How can we do that? There's a secret to this kind of submission, to this kind of surrender. The key that unlocks our willingness to submit is one word, trust. Trust. Can you trust me? Can you trust me? I know what you want. I know what you think is best, but can you trust God? That he actually does really know what is best for you? Can you trust him? Can you surrender? Do you know that if we as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? Can we trust God? That he really has a good plan for your life. That he really is a good king. That he really is a good father. And you can go to him in total surrender, in total submission, and trust that his will being done is the best thing that could ever happen in your life. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to surrender to you. Help us to acknowledge you for who you are, to understand our place in your kingdom, to understand that you're our Father and that we're your children, that you're the king and we're your servants. Lord, as we pray, as we petition you for the needs in our lives, Lord, help us to come into prayer with that proper perspective. And Lord, help us to come in prayer with that proper humility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We trust you, Lord. We really do trust you. Lord, and if there's some areas in our lives where we've had a hard time really just trusting you, God, help us. Deal with us right there, right now, so that we can fully, totally, completely surrender to you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, this surrender and this trust, it's really the most important thing that we could ever do. Most important decision that you could ever make in your life is to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and trust Him to be your Savior. And if you're here today or you're watching online and you've never made that decision, or there was a time where you made the decision, but you know honestly in your heart that you've walked away from that decision and you've not been living in a way that demonstrates any trust in Jesus, doesn't demonstrate that He's the King or the Lord of your life, the next best prayer that you can pray is to say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, wash me and cleanse me of all my sins. Jesus, restore me to a right relationship with you. Lord, to a place where I can fully trust you to take care of everything that I'm in need of in my life. If you're here this morning and you need to pray that prayer of salvation, that prayer of surrender, you need to be born again. It's so simple. All you have to do is acknowledge that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God, that He died on a cross and He paid the penalty for your sin and mine. You have to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that the wages of your sin is death, that you deserve to die and go to hell, but that Jesus died in your place for you. And all you have to do is throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, save me. If that's the prayer that you're ready to pray today, I'd love to pray it with you. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to know that you're praying that prayer today. In this place, who's here ready to surrender your life, submit your life, make Him Lord, trust Him as your Lord and your Savior? Anyone, anyone, I just wait just a moment. I wait just a moment. I don't see anyone raising their hands. I hope that what that means that everybody here is already a born-again child of God and that you love Jesus with all your heart. So I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. Ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me here at the front. We're going to close this service in prayer, time of prayer. I'm going to dismiss you, but if you came today with needs in your life, with issues in your life, we'd love to stand with you and pray with you in agreement for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done in your life. So if you have those needs, we just encourage you, even right now, just step on out and come. Lord, thank you today for your great love for us. We thank you today that you are our Father who art in heaven. You are a good Father. And Lord, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are a good King. And we pray today that your kingdom would come to this earth. We pray that your kingdom would come now. We pray that your kingdom would come in us and that your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.